Today's reading is from Philippians chapter 3, and the reading actually starts on verse 4, but it's kind of in the middle. So Paul is talking to the church at Philippi, and he's talking about that we don't put our faith in ceremonies or in our own accomplishments at the start of the scripture. Paul says, I could, of course, put my trust in such things. If any of you think you can trust in external ceremonies, I have even more reason to feel that way. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I am an Israelite by birth and of the tribe of Benjamin, a pure-blooded Hebrew. As far as keeping the Jewish law is concerned, I was a Pharisee. And I was so zealous that I persecuted the church. As far as a person can be righteous by obeying the commands of the law, I was without fault. But all those things that I might count as profit, I now reckon as loss for Christ's sake. Not only those things, I reckon, everything is complete loss for the sake of what is so much more valuable, the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have thrown everything away. I consider it all as mere garbage, so that I may gain Christ and be completely united with him. I no longer have a righteousness of my own, the kind that is gained by obeying the law. I now have the righteousness that is given through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is based on faith. All I want is to know Christ and to experience the power of his resurrection, to share in his sufferings, and become like him in his death, in the hope that I myself will be raised from death to life. It's easy sometimes to want to put value into the things that we do. You know, when we give to charities or we do good works or we visit the sick, or those are all things that we should do as Christians. And it's all things that make us feel good that we are going forth and demonstrating God's love. But that's not the source of salvation. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's talking about that the works of the flesh, that if anybody had the right to proclaim salvation through the works of the flesh, it was Paul. And Paul was born to in a Greek area where he had the benefit of an excellent Greek education. He is talking about his qualifications as a Jew. He was circumcised on the eighth day. You know, we hear that a lot. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, the Jews are commanded to circumcise their sons on the eighth day. And, you know, modern science, after a great deal of effort and research, has finally realized that, wow, God knew what he was talking about. Because on the eighth day, the body actually has a better capability of clotting blood than any other day throughout the life. Hence the commandment that God had in the circumcision on the eighth. Paul goes on to talk about that he was, you know, born a Jew. His lineage is pure. And he was of the tribe of Benjamin. When the kingdom split, and he had the northern and southern kingdoms, the majority of the tribe of Benjamin remained in the south with Judah. So they did remain true to God, as opposed to traveling to the north and worshiping Baal and the false idols. So when Paul talks about coming out of the tribe of Benjamin, there was pride in that. Paul mentions that he was a Hebrew of Hebrews regarding the law, that he was a Pharisee. Paul actually studied under Gamaliel, who was quite possibly the greatest rabbi of his time. So again, his education was top-notch. It was of the best. And Paul himself says that when it came to the law, he was blameless under the law. He lived the law as it was given. And he was so zealous. Zealotry for a Jew was a very important part of their worship. The zeal that they with which they approached their worship was considered an attribute. And Paul states that he was so zealous as a Jew that he persecuted the church because he would attack anything that threatened his beliefs as a Jew. Despite all these attributes, which made him so successful in his society, Paul says he counts all that he gained as lost once he learned of Jesus Christ. All the social status he gained as a Pharisee, all the wealth and riches, were nothing compared to the rewards offered by Christ. How many of us can make that claim? That all the things that we've worked in this life that we have, the whatever status or respect we might have gained in our family or community or at work, you know, whatever material things we've managed to accumulate, that all of that is lost, is rubbish, is garbage, compared to what we know that Jesus offers us. Are we willing to disregard all that we have in pursuit of our Savior? Paul goes on to say that although all of his worldly gain he counts as loss, he counts it as rubbish compared to the gift of knowing Jesus Christ. When Paul speaks here of knowing, the language in the Greek talks of a deep personal knowledge, sort of like you would have of someone that you had grown up with, that type of intimacy. Paul lost all the treasures of this world in order to gain the love of Jesus, to be a part of Christ, and to share in the righteousness which comes through our Savior from God the Father, a righteousness which comes from faith, not flesh. The righteousness Paul lost was the proud and haughty spirit that comes from pride in our own accomplishments, rather than the loving grace which flows from Jesus. Paul places great value in sharing in Jesus' resurrection, eternal life found in Jesus' power over the death. And that is actually the good news that we are told to proclaim. Jesus has power over death. Eternal life is the promise to us. He finds solace in the fellowship of Christ's suffering. The reason that Jesus and the Holy Spirit can comfort us in our time of suffering is because he shared all of what we confront every day. On the cross, Jesus experienced all of the sin of the world. Not just the sin of the Jews and the Greeks and the people of that time, but all of the sin of all the people of the world throughout the history of the world. Not only the sins from then, but the sins from then until now, and the sins that are being committed today and will be committed tomorrow and in the future. All of those sins Jesus experienced on the cross. So when we go to him in pain, he can comfort us through the Holy Spirit because he experienced it. He knows what it is that we feel and suffer. Jesus experienced all the pain of the world so that he could join us in fellowship, that we might share in his resurrection just as he shared in our pain and despair. I heard a comparison once that kind of drove home for me the sacrifices that Jesus made in order to become flesh and to come to this earth. It's a story that I heard told, so I'm going to go ahead and personalize it to myself. But God called to me in a dream. And he said, David, I want you to do something for me. I said, of course, God, anything for you. He showed me a planet. He says, I want you to take a good look at that planet. And I did. And it was a planet of dogs. But not just any dog. These were all Rottweilers and Doberman Pinschers and German Shepherds and pit bulls. And it was a vicious world. Vicious dogs. They were tearing at each other over pieces of flesh and meat and whatever they could find, constantly battling to try and gain the most. It was just a savage world. And God turned to me and he said, I want you to go visit that world for me. I can do that. He goes, I want you to carry a message for me. I really love those dogs. And I want you to tell them that. I want you to tell them just how much I love them. Okay, I can do that. But you need to understand that in order for you to be able to communicate with those dogs, you have to become a dog. And not just any dog. I want you to become a Chihuahua. Okay, I can do that. I can do that. So, you know, now, you need to understand, though, that when you get to this planet, they're not going to appreciate the message that I'm sending. They're not going to believe you. As a matter of fact, they're going to kill you in the most painful way possible. But I will resurrect you. However, you need to understand that even once I resurrect you, you'll still be a dog forever. Now, I understand that it's not a great analogy because the difference between us and the dog is insignificant compared to the difference between God and us. But it does, at least for me, it gave me a little insight as to just what it would mean for Christ to become flesh and come and give himself for us on this world. And the fact that when we do share in his resurrection and we get to see Christ before the throne of God, that he's still going to be in human form. And he became a dog forever for us. Not only did Christ suffer for us and die for us, but his final words on the cross were for us to be forgiven because we didn't realize what it was that we did. Paul gives us hope in explaining that even he has not yet attained set perfection in Christ. Forgive me, I missed some verses. Verse 12 carries on, I do not claim that I have already succeeded or have already become perfect. I keep striving to win the prize for which Jesus Christ has already won me to himself. Of course, my friends, I really do not think that I have already won it. The one thing I do, however, is to forget what is behind me and do my best to reach what is ahead. So I run straight toward the goal in order to win the prize, which is God's call through Jesus Christ to life above. So even Paul had not achieved perfection in trying to become like Christ. But what he's teaching us is that it's a goal towards which we're supposed to continue to strive. It's a journey. It's a process. And It's a perfection that is a goal that Paul is pursuing continually. It is a goal which Jesus has proclaimed for each and every one of those who believe in him and follow his call. It is to this goal that Paul is exhorting each and every one of us. Paul tells us that to achieve this goal, we have to forget what we're leaving behind. We need to forget all the things of this life, all the pride, all the goals that we've attained, all the respect, as well as all the pain and suffering. We need to forget that because what we're reaching for is so much better. But we have to concentrate on what we're pursuing, what we're seeking, the promises of eternal life with our Savior, Jesus Christ, and our Creator. We need to let go of all that this world holds for us, the pain and the accomplishments, and to strive with all of our will to seize that which is waiting for us when we finally join our Savior before the throne of God. I was telling the kids that it's a lot like a race, a marathon. You know, there's hills to climb, and there's valleys to run through, and there's challenges and obstacles. But it's not important to be first. It's not important how quickly we do it. What's important is that we continue to strive towards that goal and continue to work towards becoming more like Christ in our life. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that the promises that you give us are greater than anything that we can imagine. We know that in Romans you've told us that we will be co-heirs with Jesus Christ for all the blessings that you have for your Son and that you want to share with us. We just ask that you would continue to strengthen us and help us focus on the race before us and on the goal at the end, that we would continue to strive to become more like you and less like the world around us. We ask this in the name of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ.